Welcome to this special edition of the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. Tune in to hear leaders in neurology sound off on topics that impact your clinical practice. I'm your host, Matt Hoffman, Associate Editorial Director with Neurology Live, and today I have a breaking news story. On Tuesday, October 17th, the FDA approved UCB Pharma's zilucoplan, a complement C5 inhibitor, to treat patients with myasthenia gravis. It was approved under the market name Zilbrisic and is a subcutaneously delivered medication that is indicated for those with acetylcholine receptor antibody-positive disease. The decision was supported by data from the large-scale, double-blind, placebo-controlled Phase 3 RAISE study, in which zilucoplan demonstrated rapid and clinically meaningful improvements in MG-specific efficacy outcomes. After 12 weeks of treatment, zilucoplan met its primary endpoint, showing a placebo-corrected mean improvement of 2.09 points on the Myasthenia Gravis Activities of Daily Living score. Shortly after the FDA made its decision, Neurology Live spoke with Dr. James Chip Howard, the Distinguished Professor of Neuromuscular Disease and a Professor of Neurology and Medicine at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill School of Medicine, and the lead global investigator of the RAISE trial. Here's Dr. Howard with his reaction to the decision and some context on the therapeutic landscape in MG with the approval of these more targeted therapies in recent years.
It's been 340-some-odd years since we've had an approved treatment for myasthenia gravis. And in the last 5 years, we've seen several new compounds being approved, not only in the United States, but globally. This is absolutely fantastic news for our myasthenic patients. They have gone years with therapy borrowed from predominantly our transplant colleagues to suppress the immune system. And we have found that there are many dissatisfactions with those therapies, primarily the adverse event profiles that many of them have, particularly corticosteroids. But also, these drugs have a long delay before we, from the time we initiate a drug to the time we see the onset of improvement, to say nothing of maximal therapeutic effect. And so 4 to 6 months before we even see a hint of improvement, and in one case, 3 years before maximum improvement occurs. And so if we're cycling through therapies because they're not working, there's huge time loss on the part of the patient where they don't have their full life back. And so these new approvals with targeted therapies, for instance, have altered that considerably. Our adverse event profiles are nominal. It's not to say they're not without adverse events, as any drug has potential risk, but also the fact that they speed up.
Zilucoplan now becomes the fourth approved targeted treatment for MG, joining efgartigimod, ravulizumab, and rozanolixizumab in the group indicated for patients who are ACR antibody positive. As we mentioned before, zilucoplan is a subcutaneous therapy. It's also self-administered and a macrocyclic peptide complement C5 inhibitor. And this design offers some potential advantages for patients and physicians, coupled with a favorable safety profile. In RAISE, treatment-emergent adverse events occurred in roughly 77% of the patients, with the most frequently reported being injection site bruising in 16%, headache in 15%, diarrhea, and worsening of MG, both occurring in 10%. Though the incidence of these TEAEs were similar with the placebo group, aside from the injection site bruising and diarrhea. Here's Dr. Howard with more on the therapy's possible advantages.
Zilucoplan is very unique. It's not a full-size antibody like other drugs that target areas of the neuromuscular junction, whether it be those drugs that affect complement or the neonatal FC receptor. This drug is a small molecule, and that in itself, I think, has, from my perspective, several advantages. I think it reduces the risk of certain side effects. But also in zilucoplan, we're able to combine it with other therapies, other complement inhibitors that are full-size antibodies have to be supplementally dosed if we use things like plasma exchange or intravenous immunoglobulin. And the fact that this is administered daily, subcutaneously, at the patient's own discretion in the privacy of their home, allows not only freedom, but also the ability to use these other compounds without adding on additional dosing requirements. Freedom to me is a huge aspect. Patients no longer have to go to an infusion center or to have somebody come into their home and infuse them if they have the particular insurance that allows that. Here, because the drug can be kept at room temperature, one can pack them in their suitcase and go. Vacation, business travel, etc., which for some individuals, not all, but some individuals, was a hassle to have to plan their life around a visit to an infusion clinic or a hospital, for instance. And so this is a new choice for our patient population and a welcome choice. Patients who have been on drug in trial, with my experience, have tolerated it very well. They've enjoyed the ability to be able to be mobile and go on vacation, for instance. So it's a welcome addition to our patient population.
As for efficacy, zilucoplan has shown additionally positive results in clinical study conducted from 2019 to 2021. RAISE included 174 patients who were randomly assigned to either 0.3 milligram per kilogram of zilucoplan or placebo for a 12-week period, followed by an optional open-label extension study called RAISE XT. In addition to the primary outcome we mentioned earlier, investigators also observed a clinically meaningful reduction in the quantitative myasthenia gravis score after 12 weeks with zilucoplan. In data reported from RAISE XT at this year's MDA Clinical and Scientific Conference, from the double-blind study baseline period, zilucoplan-treated individuals achieved a least squares mean reduction in MG-ADL score of 6.30 points. And similar results were seen for the placebo switch group, with a mean score reduction of 6.32 points through 24 months. Here's Dr. Howard once again with some context on the therapy's efficacy and, importantly, availability now that it's approved.
We find that it has a very rapid onset. Within a week, in some cases, I've seen improvement start within days of initiating therapy. Unlike, as I said, many of our drugs that take months to begin working, the improvement was robust and sustained over time and without apparent loss of efficacy. With the dosing schedule that we use, daily subcutaneous injections have their own issues. I mean, our diabetics do it all the time, but it's a very small amount, a very small needle, and in my experience, very well tolerated by these individuals. The side effect profile was very minimal. And well tolerated. And in my own experience, we did not see significant numbers of discontinuations because of the drug, which is a huge plus. So well appreciated by the patient, good compliance, excellent compliance in our study, and very well tolerated. So it has many of the assets that we look for. When we bring a new compound to market, where it fits in the paradigm is an issue for clinicians. Our life is not dictated by medical decision making, but often dictated by payers. And our hope and a desperate hope is that regulatory or payer institutions, health ministries, etc., realize the fact that if we can treat early, treat aggressively, and restore patients' lives to normal, near normal, without the adverse events that many of our patients accumulate using our current standard of care, that this drug will move up in the line. Ideally, I would like to see these compounds used first line rather than second or third line in those who have not responded, because I think the overall healthcare costs will be less if we can keep them safe, get them back to work as a productive member of society. And often that's not taken into account. You know, when I treat somebody and those organizations that look at healthcare costs never really appreciate what's the cost of treating adverse events over a lifetime. What's the cost of lost days from work, not only from the patient, but from the significant other, the other caregiver. And there is data that we have in other countries where these costs are absolutely huge. You know, 50% of patients in some countries have marked reductions in income such that their ability to provide for family is jeopardized. A third may become unemployed because of their disease. And so the ability to have new therapies such as Zilucoplan to reverse that, get them back to work, make them productive in our society is a real benefit.
This is now the fourth approval and has marked yet another win in a rapidly expanding therapeutic pipeline for myasthenia gravis. With more interest from the pharmaceutical industry, there's a clear opportunity to address the needs of the MG patient community, and each approval seems to cement this further. But how big of an effect zilucoplan's approval will have on the landscape remains to be seen. Though, with this consistently changing clinical care paradigm that has emerged in this area in neuromuscular medicine, there is indication that it will have an effect on patients and on the development of additional treatments. Here's Dr. Howard with his closing thoughts on the future.
The pipeline over the last 2, 3 years is really full, and there's huge interest in bringing new therapeutics to the bedside, in part because myasthenia gravis is the prototypical autoimmune disorder. And we know a lot, not all of it, but we know a fair bit about the pathogenesis of the disease, the response to therapies, the mechanisms of action, etc. And so the original approvals of 5 years ago with complement inhibitors has opened the door for pharma to look more closely at myasthenia as a therapeutic target. And for that, our patient community is very gratified. The pipeline, as I said, is expanding as more and more individuals become interested in bringing new therapeutics. And so the pioneering results of our first few that we've brought to market have shown or paved the way that this is a potentially beneficial avenue to follow. All of these drugs, for the most part, are generation one, generation two. And I see the scientists going back to the bench and trying to improve upon what we have. For better efficacy, for even less terms of adverse events, for easier routes of administration. And that will come. And over the next decade or so, I think you'll see tweaks and modifications of the new drugs that we even have now that will result in even better qualities of life and better response rates, etc.
For more coverage of zilucoplan's approval, you can check out the corresponding links in the show notes, or you can head to neurologylive.com. Additionally, more coverage of rare neuromuscular disorders can be found on our clinical focus pages. Thanks for listening to this special episode of the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. We'll be back next Friday, November 3rd, with our regularly scheduled episodes. thanks for listening to this special episode of the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. We'll be back on Friday, May 5th with our regularly scheduled episodes. Look out for more special episodes over the course of 2023 and beyond.